good at wrestling.
I have to apologize in advance to Rob because it's WrestleMania week, mm-hmm. and so this episode is going to get seriously wrestling heavy, and Rob's going to kill himself.
And let's be honest, next week probably will be a lot of
talk. Yeah, it'll be about us talking about either how happy we are or how badly WWE fucked up without having Daniel Bryan win the main event.
I think we're safe.
Before we even begin our show, this is by far the best WrestleMania card in years.
Yeah, and I think this has potential to be one of the top three or four WrestleManias.
And one of the best builds. Like, mm-hmm. holy shit.
And really, we're having probably two Daniel Bryan matches, so there should be some good matches. And on top of that, like, Lesnar-Taker is going to be good.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be
good. The only match that I think probably won't be good, but will be a piss break, will be the Divas Championship Invitational.
No, I'm all in on that one.
A 14 Divas single fall match? Why didn't they just do a Battle Royal?
Yeah.
Like... But yeah, I mean, the six-man tag is going to be awesome because, as you know, I'm the biggest Kananite in the world. Mm-hmm.
And I believe in the Shield.
I love the Shield. I could give a shit about the New Age of the Laws.
My favorite thing in the world is Roman Reigns' Superman punch.
Yeah.
When he loads his fist, does that, I'm like...
I'm just disappointed that the Fatal 4-Way tag match isn't on the main show. It's on the
show. Is that... And there's another match on the... pre-show, isn't there?
That's the only one that's announced right now.
Oh, I thought there was two for some reason.
But, oh man, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, oh,
that's gonna be a match. Bray Wyatt's gonna win, I hope. By the way, did you like Cena's promo?
I did!
Because I watched
it. Fired up Ernest Cena, I always say that.
My first thought was, that was a very earnest promo. Joey's gonna like that.
Did you not fucking love Bray Wyatt's promo?
Yep. Oh, he's so good.
He's amazing.
He's so good.
Okay, sorry, Rob. Anyway,
also with the best theme music. Second best theme music. We all knew who has the first.
Well, yeah.
Keep rolling.
And on that note, welcome to the Geek Stampede Comics and WrestleMania Roundup for the week of Wednesday, April the 2nd, brother.
Any of those.
This
would be my favorite.
This was mine. I haven't read that one. Anyway.
I bought four books that came out this week, one of which was Cap, which I'm way behind on, and then the other one was... Ultimate Spidey, which was like that big special issue, and I didn't read that.
I read a ton of comics this week, but not all of them came out this week because I had to catch up on some. But I have stuff we can talk about. So, and Rob has a game, and things are good.
And worst case, we can talk about wrestling again.
Hello. Right?
No.
Oh. I always get that.
Was that like an ice?
I always get social cues.
Was that an Ice Cube reference?
Yep.
In that song,
Friday,
where he's like, "Hello."
I started
this
yet?
Gangsta shit.
Yep.
And this motherfucking thanks I get. You ever heard this song? It's like
no.
Ice Cube and
this is my favorite.
Dr. Dre.
Okay. Cool.
And MC Ren.
Motherfuckers
actually
forgot about Dre.
Nowadays everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out. When they move the lips, it's just a bunch of fucking gibberish and motherfuckers act like they forgot about
it's
Dre.
Because they're actually deaf mutes.
Oh. So what do you say to somebody you hate? I used to know all of Dr. Dre's rap in that song.
I know everything. Just in general.
You hate everything?
I know everything. I hate everything too, but I know. I listened to that the other day, the Patton Oswalt.
I hate.
The one where he goes,
I hate.
I need to talk to you after the podcast.
Okay. I'm going to talk about a comic book that I think Joey read. Ryan, you can look at the cover, but you're not allowed to look in it because I am not a fucking library.
Okay.
Okay.
This
is
kind of looks nice.
The Field number one by Simon Roy and Ed Brisson and Simon Goh doing the coloring. This is kind of a cool departure for what I'm used to Simon Roy drawing. Simon Roy from Prophet, and he's got that short story collection from Image, and he likes to draw really, really.
I'm sorry. Oh. I was checking levels. I wasn't sure how.
And he likes to draw. Really, really imaginative and creative sort of aliens and weird alien worlds and crazy creatures and stuff like this. So this is kind of just a straight up chase book with a few moments of very, very, very upsetting violence and an old fundamentalist doing some coke off a diner table. So
dope.
It's pretty cool. So it's an interesting mystery. I found it compelling. I found... the main character, who is stranded out in this cornfield or whatever, being chased by this very, very deranged, cigarette-smoking fundamentalist. And this guy happens to come across a cell phone in the grass that is sending him these cryptic sort of messages and tips and advice for saving his own life and stuff like run and stuff like don't get in the car and blah blah blah. So stuff that you don't understand yet, not quite at the end of the issue. So far there's three moving parts. There's this weird naked guy who the story follows. There's this weird fundamentalist guy who deems swearing is inappropriate but has no problem beating the shit out of people with the butts of guns and then shooting them in the face until they die of bullet to the face disorder.
In fairness.
And
correct.
Yeah. And there's a crazy motorcycle gang that's after all of them. So a bunch of moving parts. I'm interested to see what happens next. And I thought it was cool. It was a cool, different dynamic from Simon Roy and an interesting new miniseries from Ed Brisson.
Is it Sons of Anarchy Motorcycle Club Redwood Original?
Yeah.
Sam Crow. Yep. That's what it means.
Yeah. This is actually just the first episode of Sons of Anarchy. Just cool.
Featuring I like the art Jim and Gordon. I got like a kind of a borderline Lovecraft vibe from the scene where they're in the diner and all shit goes crazy. Yeah.
Because it gets very, very weird very quick.
But it all seemed so unhinged that there was nothing really for me to grab onto. So I'm going to keep getting it, but I wasn't blown away.
Speaking of Lovecraft,
I liked it, and I liked the art.
I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, I wasn't necessarily blown away, but I thought it was very cool. And I thought it was... I'm curious enough to see what happens. If issue two... I mean, this dynamic really only serves for, like, one issue for the first issue, when you're just completely lost and you want at least one answer or one thing pointing you in the right direction.
Right.
So if the second issue is the same dynamic, it's just like, well, okay, it's 2 months and I don't know what's going on, but I'm sure the second issue will offer up a lot of direction and answers.
Speaking,
sorry. You are.
Yeah, you go on.
Where
you
no, I'm done, man.
Speaking of Lovecraft vibe, guys.
I love Craft.
I watched all of True Detective in one day.
Isn't it awesome?
It's really good.
I'm so fucked up, like, since then, and I'm never, ever, ever going to Louisiana. Ever. Like, not for $1 million.
Would follow you, the buzzards.
Maybe for WrestleMania.
That's really awkward because I was actually going to give you $1 million to come to Louisiana.
We should have like a sign to point to in my
me.
Kitchen just to annoy Rob every time one of us mentions WrestleMania. We can stop and point at the sign.
It will be your
would
motion
you
detector.
Be yeah, to get sure. you through this podcast. Sure.
I got one. It's all right. I'll have another one later.
But yeah, that wow, that show, guys. Wow. That
yeah, it's good, eh?
How fucking good is McConaughey?
Right? Yeah, that's kind of the thing that everyone talks about is just how no one really expected him to be that good.
With that. Like, he's wow. so good, but he's like not that much better than Woody Harrelson, and no one's talking about how awesome Woody Harrelson
it's
was
because
on that show.
Everyone's been talking about how awesome Woody Harrelson is for most of his career.
Really?
Most years. Oh,
when
yeah.
has anyone really
Woody Harrelson is so good in No Country for Old Men. He was awesome in
maybe,
that movie.
Maybe you've never
really
seen a little movie.
Small part. Minutes, yeah, I know. He was fucking awesome.
Have you ever seen a little movie called Kingpin?
Yeah,
because it's the greatest
he
movie
bowls
of all
with
time.
Dennis Quaid, Randy Quaid, I don't know the one that is crazy.
Randy Quaid
wanted asylum.
Randy Quaid, and then Bill Murray's in it.
Milbury,
and that. Really
have you noticed like
girl.
a surge of like Bill Murray memorabilia and like hipster T-shirts going around?
Yeah, it's
like
because
so
of,
many kids wear.
You know the Chive?
They have a Bill
What's
Murray
that?
Shirt.
It's like a
What's the
website
Chive?
With pictures.
It's a website with pictures.
Honestly, it's a weird thing. It's just this thing that people go on the internet to look at. It's like this website for bros. It's got pictures of like hot ladies and like douchey things, but they also sell like hipster T-shirts and stuff, including one featuring the likeness of Bill Groundhog Day Ghost Bustin' Ass Murray.
It's the bro version of Reddit.
Oh, okay.
That's a good way to put it.
Because it's weird, because I see that
I
as
know,
a bumper.
Reddit is kind of the bro version yeah. of Reddit a lot of times yeah. now.
I see that as like a decal on the back.
Keep calm and chive on.
At the on the back of people's cars and stuff as a decal and everything.
So it's like, oh, here's funny pictures and weird stuff, and here's lots of it's like lots of hot chicks and weird things and gifts of people hurting themselves and elephants.
But it's weird because
Cat Saturday though. That's the only thing I'll look at on the chive. Cat Saturday. Sorry.
Yeah. So it was like cat pictures, and it's kind of like BuzzFeed but for bros. It's more like BuzzFeed for bros than Reddit for bros.
And it's like. The one good thing is that it's not like all horrendous. They like have that like whole pay it forward thing where they like do things for
buy
other
the person's
with,
coffee behind
yeah.
them.
Like here's a 38 photo gallery of underboob.
Mm-hmm. See that's the thing. The it's like oh they'll buy coffees or like
rest
they'll
in tits.
Jesus. But they, anyway, they'll like. Buy people coffee or tip people like $100 and stuff like that. But then also then like underneath it's like, look at this girl's titty. But not even her titty, just under it.
The underboob.
Alright.
Yeah, I mean like I don't go on it very often.
And they sell Bill Murray T-shirts?
Yes, they do.
That's right.
Bill Groundhog Day Ghostbusting Ass Murray.
Right, that guy. He was in Meatballs, wasn't he?
He was.
Is that the guy from Meatballs?
Meat bulbs.
Meat bulbs.
Plant a meat bulb, you'll have a meat plant. Meat lip. It's like a tulip.
How many cows
does it take
to screw in a meat bulb?
I meant to be like a meat tulip, but then I said meat lip, and that's gross.
Meat lip?
That's the most.
I'll stick my tongue in your meat.
Horrendous term I've ever said. Ew. Yeah.
I'm gonna cream all over your meat.
Guys, I might change my favorite because I'm not even sure if I remember what happened. No, I'm not changing my favorite.
Wow.
Okay, I read this today.
Wait a minute.
I read that last night. I love this.
I'm having.
Get it?
That sounded like you're setting up a tent and there's like a rip in the fabric. Just.
I may have torn my ass.
That was a Jerry Gergich fart from Parks and Rec. Whenever
Larry,
like
bends, you mean?
Yeah, sorry, Larry Gergich. When he bends over and farts. I think they changed his name again, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I don't
have
know.
To catch up.
Anyways, okay, well, I'm going to talk about the one other book that I can talk about. This
week. Poon Eicher?
That's actually like my entire review. Spoilers.
It's Poon-ish.
Punisher issue 4 from Nathan Edmondson and I can never remember Mitch.
Could you even read the words in the fucking word balloons in this issue?
Yeah.
Oh,
I just can't remember. Because the G on the title page kind of looks like a C, and I was like, "Correct."
I really like this Punisher run so far.
I really, really love this Punisher run. It's got it. Like, it's just a really fun, cool action story.
Yeah,
the art is so good.
It's actually making like cool Punisher. Mm-hmm. Actually, you still have supervillains. And Punisher has a dog. He's a coyote.
He has pizza coyote. That's all I can think whenever I see it. And that's like the one thing that like keeps the book light enough where it's not just like a fucking Michael Bay movie. Speaking of Ninja Turtles, watch the trailer again. Still doesn't look that bad. Anyways, we got a cool little ending with a neat character being somewhat introduced into this storyline that they'd never referenced before.
Domino.
Which is cool.
Domino.
Yeah.
Domino, motherfucker.
Used to be in a tag team with Deuce, and they were the former tag team champions.
Oh, should I?
And now one of them is Cliff Compton, Mr. 18F and 59.
I was looking at the list of tag team champions today, because
the Heartthrobs? Or no, they weren't.
I was just looking at like who's held the belt more times. Like the Dudleys had it 8 times. But like I think Edge is a 12-time or 14-time tag team champion.
But with like everybody.
With a bunch of people. Like he's with Hulk Hogan once.
Yeah, I remember that.
Billy Gunn has it with at least 3 different tag teams. The New Age Outlaws,
Billy Chuck,
Smoking Guns, yep. and Billy and Chuck. Remember when Bart Gunn got knocked out by Butterbean in like 18 seconds?
And then he like went to actually try to be a boxer like later in his life and was horrible.
The Brawl for All.
Johnny Knoxville actually
just ripped off Bart Gunn. Yeah. They did that exact same thing in WWF. Wow. They had this thing called the Brawl for All where a bunch of wrestlers had shoot fights.
Like shoot boxing
shoot
matches.
Fights?
Yeah. And Bart Gunn won because he was actually a pretty good fighter. But then they put him in the ring with Butterbean, and Butterbean murdered him.
Yeah.
Killed him in like 18 seconds, just like one punched him. It was over. It was terrifying.
And actually, like, Johnny Knoxville put up a better fight than Bart.
And that pretty much ended Bart Gunn's career just because after that, he was such a joke.
Yeah.
It was too bad because he could have been pretty good.
That's want to know one quick way to ruin a wrestler's credibility with the audience? Have him get his ass kicked for real. On live television. Not even live television. On the biggest show of the year.
Yep.
Well, it's the biggest show.
But I
show
digress.
Here.
I digress, gentlemen.
Guys,
I'm going to watch Fargo tomorrow.
Guys.
The show, it airs tomorrow?
The movie. I'm going to watch the movie.
The movie is one of my favorite movies.
There was 2 Red Sonja comics this week, guys.
How many is that?
More than one. Less than 3. We had Red Sonja number 8.
Spoiler!
From Gail Simone and Walter Giovanni.
Hold on, let me get my watch calculator out here.
Walculator.
This was almost my favorite of the week. This was my second favorite, and it's one of my favorite issues of Red Sonja. She's on this quest to bring these 6 different people back to this king. So in the last issue, she got the guy who makes food really good. Remember I told you all about the chef? Anyway, this time her and the chef are off on an adventure, and they have to go and try and get Kalia the Magnificent, who's this like wild beast tamer, but he's secretly evil and beats the shit out of the animals and is a bad guy.
Hello, children.
And they totally get to give him his comeuppance and fight in an arena, and they find it. It was just like really fun. It continues to be a really good Red Sonja run. This is my favorite Gail Simone book since The Atom. It's so good. And we see a bear kill a guy.
I preferred the Eve.
You're funny.
Thank you. I fell in a river yesterday.
The Atom.
You should cherish the fact that I'm still here.
We'll get to that. And the other one was Red Sonja and Cub by Jim Zub and Jonathan Lau. I guess Red Sonja was in Japan for some reason, and it was just kind of an excuse to have Red Sonja with like a young person so they could call it Red Sonja and Cub. Like, you know, like Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yeah.
It was very bloody, very, it was just a big fight. It was a good story. It was a good one shot. I enjoyed it. You pretty much saw how it was going to end from page two, but yeah, it was fun. Jim Zub writes cool stuff.
Could see how it ended from page two, they need to use better paper.
Hey!
Actually, that's Marvel that has to use better paper. But yeah, no, Jonathan Lau did a good job. I enjoyed it.
I'd like to see a comic book of Red Sonja on the Cubs. Like Red Sonja playing baseball.
Playing for the Chicago Cubs?
Yeah.
She wouldn't win the World Series.
Yeah.
They haven't won a World Series in like over 100 years.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Good.
Blue Jays, guys, 2-2.
Great.
Go Jays.
Good.
Oh, yeah, it's baseball season.
Sweet.
Monday awesome. Was opening day.
Oh, how was this? I wanted to get
talking about wrestling or Ryan talking
oh,
about baseball.
Oh, God. At least, well, they're both pretty bad.
See, at least when I talk hockey, there's like...
Hello, I like
Rob,
hockey.
Yeah, Rob
I
likes do. Hockey.
If you talk baseball, then it's just you by yourself,
yep.
And then you would come back to this quicker. But if we talk about wrestling, we both point at the sign and go on for 10 minutes.
And right. 10 more minutes.
I'm going to start a baseball podcast. Just me talking to myself.
Call it Outside Baseball.
Ah, I was trying to think of a cool name.
Here's a book that was my favorite artistically... Actually, it was very close to being my favorite. I thought it was excellent, and I was so excited for their whole run on this book. And it's Francis Manapul and Brian Buccellato on Batman Detective Comics number 30. Their first part of their run. It's got one of the best Batman covers in so long.
You mean the first good Batman cover in a long time?
Since like
I don't know. I've been loving these 0 years.
Shut. Shut your face. They're so stupid. Because
I don't care about covers.
Oh my God. But look at how beautiful this one is.
I know. It's a nice cover.
This one's incredible.
It had a dirt bike race.
It had a dirt bike race. It had some of my favorite Manapul art in a long time.
And the squid was in it.
There's the squid. It's a really, really excellent begin to what I think will be one of my favorite runs in the New 52. Since the New 52, one of the only creative teams that stayed consistently excellent throughout their entire thing. Throughout their entire career at the New 52 has been Manapul and Buccellato. So.
It was also cool that like it referenced and spent a lot of time talking about Damian.
Yeah.
Which is something that every other book in the entire fucking universe is just... Like the main Batman book is just like, his son died. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. All right.
It was totally... It was clearly... something that happened peripherally while that team wanted to tell their own story. And it was like, oh, well, okay. Just, okay. Whereas this one, yeah, it really, really... For the first time in a New 52 book, shows how hurt and broken Bruce Wayne is since Damian's demise. And seriously, Manapul is a ghoul. It looks so good.
What are your interests?
Ghouls. 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 Milk steak.
Milk steak.
Seriously, number 30.
Milk steak. Medium rare.
Number 30 of Batman Detective Comics is a spectacular time to jump onto this book with Manapul and Buccellato. It's such a good story.
I've meant to be
amazing
buy it,
artwork.
And I didn't buy it.
Ugh.
And now I'm a
Listen to this. Listen to me.
You are
Tim the Tool Man! Taylor!
Guys, good news.
Good.
Since, I want to say Saturday, but it might have been Sunday, but I'm pretty sure it was Saturday.
Say Saturday. You said it twice now. If you wanted to say it, I mean, you already...
Either day.
Don't tell us what
anyways,
good news is.
I've only had like 4 cigarettes since then.
Wow. That's kind of
like... And like a couple cigars.
That's
cigars
like,
are worth it. Cigars don't count.
See, I've been getting like the primetime ones, and they're like... They're horrid, though, so they like... Yeah,
that does count then, yeah.
I'll have one, and it's like, I don't ever want to smoke anything again, because these are the worst things in the world, and then like the next day I'm like...
If you don't want, I'll bring us good cigars to WrestleMania.
Ah, it's okay. Well, you can bring
I read a really... Okay, like, it sounds really hokey, but what has worked for people in the past, and apparently I was reading about this, is ways to quit smoking sooner is if you just take them as suppositories.
Here it comes. I was waiting for it.
Is if you just shove them up your cornhole and suck in. And then you can blow out your mouth.
I don't know
if I... cram it up your cram hole with lure.
Now, in fairness, I'm not sure if I have, like, the anal dexterity required.
The anal dexterity.
That sounds like it takes some serious butt control.
Wait, to figure out your anal dexterity, what side of dice do you have to roll? Is it just a 6 side, or is it a full 20? Okay.
Oh, God, I hope it's not a 20.
Do you have to shove a 20-sided dice up your ass in order to figure out your anal dexterity?
I fart 20s.
You farted 100 there. Speaking of butts, by the way.
You farted.
Were we?
Was your favorite part of Brooklyn Nine-Nine when Broyle gets shot in the butt and then he like lands on the dirt after diving through the air and he's like, "My butt!"
No.
It's like super
that
someone.
Wasn't my favorite part.
That was like one of my favorite parts in that.
It was funny.
Oh,
but no, that was definitely not my favorite part of that season.
Maybe it's just because I'm so sick of people using the word like ass that I'm like, I want people to start saying butt.
The word ass? You're sick of the word ass?
I have not worked in a month. There is a lot of time on my hands. I've been thinking of some weird shit. Like, I don't like the word ass. I just like the word butt.
You know, you say that. I was watching WrestleMania 17 tonight, and this was during the Attitude Era. And at one point, Stephanie McMahon says, "After my dad kicks Shane's butt." I was like, why did she say butt? Why did? And I just remember thinking, that's funny. Why did Stephanie just say butt? They could say ass then. You can say ass now.
Yeah.
On the PG, you can still say ass. But she's just like, after my dad's done kicking Shane's butt. I was like,
because she's the $1 million princess.
She had the jumper that said Daddy's a Girl on it. That was one of my... we're going into wrestling talk
again. She's an excellent heel at the moment, by the way.
Oh, she's fantastic. One of the best talkers on the card. Mm-hmm. It must be so hard for Rob during WrestleMania week because we're both so excited.
Even the one, the only badass Billy Heath is like pumped.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, we were talking about it earlier, and I was like, you know, WrestleMania's in like 3 days. He's like, oh, right on, your buddy's coming out. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And then he fell asleep.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
Right after saying, I hope
what's
he
going
like,
to do? Shane doesn't win the Battle Royale
or some shit.
Did you?
Tough son of a bitch.
This is kind of aside, but do you see that picture of him with his like? He's got the bear shirt. Yeah, he's got this sweater with this bear roaring on it, and then he's sleeping, and his face is like his mouth is wide open. He looks like the bear. Amazing.
Badass.
He's just.
Classic.
He's the coolest.
All right. I didn't read that, but please talk about it.
Oh, this is issue 2 of Veil from Dark Horse Comics by Greg Rucka and Tony Fizzula. It's getting weird. It already was very weird. About this crazy girl who has the power of suggestion. She's very suggestive in this book. There's lots of occult stuff that's getting introduced in this. I'm really digging the stylized art that Fizzula has. And some of Vale's powers may be linked to this new character that's introduced, who is very much into witchcraft and rats and shit.
Is it Harry Potter?
Yeah, actually. Really, I'm surprised that they could get the licensing rights for that. But some really, really dark shit happens in this issue. It's shaping up to get weirder than it already was if you were reading the first issue. It was one of my favorite first issues that came out in the past couple months. I really dug it. I don't know. I think it's great. I think it's only going to be 4 issues or something. So it's short. It's a good opportunity to pick it up because the second issue is only out by now. And I mean, look, like this. It almost looks cell shaded the way that he draws.
The coloring is cool.
The coloring is very cool.
I kind of dig that.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I have a number one that I can talk about as well.
I have a lithograph of this. That's all.
Oh, okay. Did you read this?
No.
Joey?
No, I didn't buy it either.
So this is Inhuman number one by Charles Soule and Joe Matarera, which was kind of cool. I mean, it's
Joe
following
Mad.
The Terra Genesis. Yeah, I like Joe Mad too. He was pretty good in this. It wasn't my favorite stuff.
This ringing endorsement brought to you by.
But
he's very 90s.
Man. I don't know. It's like pretty. It's pretty.
I love Joe Mad. I love Joe Mad.
I like.
That was the only reason I was going to get the book. But.
Well, it reads like it's very editor driven.
Oh. That doesn't surprise me. I mean, it was a book that was
supposed
to
be
by somebody else.
And yeah, it was supposed to be Fraction, and then they kicked Fraction. Well, not. It wasn't
he
like
said it was a mutual.
It's not
he
work,
said,
yeah.
"I can't. I don't want to do this then."
And it reads like. Because Charles Sewell, a lot of his other work, like reading Letter 44 or She-Hulk or Superman Thing. Wonder Woman even, or Swamp Thing, yeah. I haven't been reading Swamp Thing or keeping up with it. Joey really likes it.
Just name a book. Probably writing
He's probably writing it. But following those other books, Superman, Wonder Woman, not quite included. I like that book, but it doesn't really represent how good a writer Charles Sewell is. No. Books like She-Hulk and Letter 44 really do. Oh,
totally that
and
one.
And they're really unique. And they're really strong characters throughout it, really good character development, really good story and plotting and like mystery that's layered throughout it all. Inhuman reads like he was given like cue cards while he was writing. He's like, okay, I'll just write that then. That's fine. Yeah. It's not bad. I mean, but it doesn't even read lazy. It just reads very simple.
It's more like he should have been credited as the script.
I guess, yeah, kind of like that. And obviously I don't know all the details about it, but that's what it read like to me.
Yeah.
And it in concept, it would be something that I would be so excited about, like me the Terra Genesis Bomber. I keep saying that wrong, I think. But anyway, it goes off after Infinity and starts up igniting all this inhuman DNA in a lot of the people on Earth. And in humans, super crazy Kirby cosmic stuff.
Kirby is Black Bolt and Kirby.
Yeah, yeah. And stuff that I love in the Marvel U. And this book didn't really have any of that. In fact, it had none of that. It had what looked more just like infestation and bug creatures coming down to Earth and making a guy with a red hood be kind of douchey.
I was going to say, it looks like it's just centered around like the main character from the video game Infamous.
Yeah, kind of.
That's kind of what he looks like.
No, it was. It's very cool. It's worth it to see Medusa drawn by Joe Mann.
Yeah,
that's about it. I was just a little disappointed because I've seen how strong a writer Charles Sewell can be.
Yeah.
And this reads like someone coasting, which isn't necessarily his fault. I mean, the guy's writing like 1,000 books.
Just like, I'm just going to write stuff so that it'll look cool when Joe Mann draws it.
Yeah. That's what it
read. And it certainly looks like it does.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very cool looking.
I really feel like I missed a lot of books this week that I was interested in and just didn't buy.
Marvel has the fucking shittiest paper.
I know, it's frustrating.
It's really, like, read Detective Comics, gorgeous paper.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Fucking Marvel.
Marvel, yeah.
Did you hear that? I just complimented DC and said, fuck Marvel. Bizarro universe!
What is this, a wrestling show in Canada?
Great.
Yeah, I get it. What is this, a house show in Saskatoon where Bret Hart wins the championship and no one knows?
Nobody knows. Isn't that the one where the rope breaks, the top rope breaks?
I think so. I don't know. I've never seen it because it doesn't tell.
That was the tag match against the Rockers when the top ring.
The top rope broke.
And then like they had this like excellent match without the top rope, and they all hated it though.
That's what I mean though. Bret Hart managed to make an absolute classic IC championship match at Wembley with an allegedly coked out Davey Boy. So
yeah, well, in his book he says that Davey Boy Smith was like done 5 minutes into that match.
Yeah,
like he was just
and Bret just fucking carried Bret could anyway.
Bret could carry me to a decent match.
Let me get the sign again. All right, guys. I got a one shot here that I read that no one else read. All the books I read, nobody else reads. Edgar Allan Poe's The Premature Burial by Richard Corbin. It's another Richard Corbin Poe adaptation. Two stories in this one. The Premature Burial, which was good, although kind of like fucked in the head, so it was kind of hard to understand what was happening.
You're
like,
kind of fucked in the head!
I haven't read The Premature Burial, like the actual story, and I know that all of his adaptations are usually slightly different from the original stories, which actually kind of makes them fun. But the second story in here is one of my favorite Poe stories, The Cask of Amontillado. And as always, it's fucking amazing Richard Corbin art doing really creepy gothic Edgar Allan Poe stuff. And The Cask of Amontillado was done so well. Sorry I banged on the table, Charlie. It's just really good.
I love how everyone in a Richard Corbin book looks like they're about to burst from over feeding themselves. They all just look super roly-poly and always look like they're sweating a lot and have very, very swollen hands. I love Richard Corbin.
Yeah, me too. And anyway, this was very good. So if you like Richard Corbin, you like Edgar Allan Poe, you could do worse than reading it, dick.
You could do worse.
All right, I had another book that no one else reads. But you guys should. You guys like The Goonies? What do you like, boys?
I love the
This book is Dave Lapham written and drawn book, totally like fun kids horror book. Like you could imagine this being like a Goosebumps story.
Cool.
Or a Goonies type story called Juice Squeezers.
Quickly, was that a callback to like 2 years ago? Thank you.
You don't like wrestling? What do you like, boys? anyway, so Juice Squeezers, number 404, miniseries. It's about these kids who are part of this club. Oh, what's the actual name of the club? Basket Weaving Club, I think. But it's actually secretly an organization that keeps the countryside protected from the horrific giant creature monster. There's a
basket
bugs.
Are they the underwater basket weaving club?
I don't think so.
No.
But yeah, so their job is to just kill all the giants. I get what you're referencing, so I'm just going to move past it.
Never mind.
But this is sort of the finale, and they've discovered this massive like layer underneath, and the bugs are revolting. They sure are. But yeah, it's just a really fun kind of Goosebumps style, gross out, fun adventure kids horror book.
That sounds great.
And I'm an adult, and I liked it. So if you liked Are You Afraid of the Dark, Goosebumps, or my personal favorite TV show of all time, Eerie Indiana, I cannot recommend highly enough Dave Lapham's Juice Squeezers. My understanding is that there's a digital one-shot that you can get, and there'll be another story in the Dark Horse Free Comic Book Day book. And then they'll go on summer vacation and then come back eventually for another story. But
summer vacation!
Are you ready for the summer?
Are you guys ready for a game? Do you guys want to play a game?
It's time to play the game.
All right, I'll read this.
Time to play the game.
I'm going to win that guitar. Oh my God.
It's all about the game and how you play it.
Oh, hey.
This is how we lame, and then we lay it.
What? Right before we play this game. So I watched the How I Met Your Mother finale.
So did I.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard from most people that it was fucking awful.
See, it was right. I thought it was really great, and then if I would have shut it off like 5 minutes before it ended, it would have been like, oh, perfect.
It was just
great,
like,
ending to the show.
Hey, let's unwrite all the character development we'd done for Barney, and pretty much every character. Let's kill the mother who'd been waiting for 9 years off-panel. And then let's just go back to the fucking thing that we established wasn't the right thing for Ted in the first season.
The stuff with Barney and Robin getting divorced, I was fine with, because I was like, well, in fairness, like, most marriages end up in a divorce.
Yeah, but the whole
point
was you watched Barney grow into an actual human being for 9 years, and then it's just like, just kidding, he's a douche again.
But then it's like, just kidding, he's a good guy because he has a kid.
No, but it's stupid because that show enforces the most annoying double standard in the entire world. It's such bullshit. Yeah. And the fact that he, like, the last scene where he's hitting on women again, but then he goes out and he gives them shit for being in a bar looking to get laid. And it's like, we just watched you do that for 9 years and we're supposed to pat you on the back for growing up. This character's stupid. I hate, oh, that Barney
Stinson
is bullshit.
I liked that character once they had moved past the immature ladies man when he was in the relationship with Robin.
When
that
they
the
developed
part
him
of that
when
show
he became
actually,
a character.
Yeah. And then they unwrote that in the last episode.
He was a bit character. He was just like a prop. He was Kenny. And then they developed Kenny and made him actually a character, and then they unwrote it all and we're just like, it didn't work. Fuck him.
Oh my God, you killed Barney, you bastards. Having said that, I don't like that show.
Even at the beginning I said I liked it. However, I mean, the idea that entire show was based around how, like, it was a story about him being in love with Robin all along. I mean, that was established in very first episode because, like, they filmed the last scene with the kids in the first year they did it. Because those kids don't age in those 90s.
And
so it was clearly
she's
filmed
the girl,
first
she's
year.
In Kick-Ass, and she was in Nikita, and she is so, so hot, guys.
Yeah. However, but so what I would say for that is they had a planned ending. However, if you watch all those seasons, they just didn't write it very well. And, like, getting from point A to point B, they fuck it up a bunch of times because they establish several times that, no, they're not in love. They're not in love. They're not going to get together. Like, several times.
And the thing that pisses me off is, like, I grew to hate the Ted and Robin.
Yeah, because it was tired and everyone's like, it's over. I don't give a shit.
I was, like, really happy when he met the mother because she's, like, perfect for him and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, great. And I also think the actress is really cute, which is nice.
Great.
And she's really funny in that episode of 30 Rock. But then I was like, oh great! And then they lived happily ever after. And it's like, nope, she died.
But what I liked is the speech that he gives about loving that woman, about loving his mother.
Yeah,
I thought was actually really well written. I thought that was really good.
I thought that was very good.
I agree. Yeah. And all that really mattered for that show was that Lily and Marshall stayed together, so fuck yeah. But and I even skipped the last I couldn't watch the last two seasons. I was kind of over the joke.
Obviously, you didn't really have to.
But the last episode was it was fine.
The guy who plays Ted Mosby is actually a really good actor, I think.
Nope. I think he sucks.
Really? I think he's a really good actor.
Really?
I think he's really good.
He's not bad.
I mean, he kind of does this like incredulous voice that a little too much that he leans on, especially in that show. But
I think he does the thing that like bugs me about David Schwimmer, where David Schwimmer is such a funny comedian, but then when they make him do serious things, I'm just kind of like, shut up.
See, you know what bugs me about David Schwimmer is that he was on the worst television show I've ever watched.
What?
Friends.
What?
Dude, shut up.
I don't like Friends. I do not like Friends.
I mean,
I like
how is this never brought
up? I'm usually
up?
On
I
Team Ryan,
like
but come on,
I think Friends is the most fucking boring show.
Friends is 10 seasons long, and it has
four excellent seasons.
It has three decent seasons, and its first three seasons are nigh unwatchable.
The third season has like one or two good episodes, but that doesn't mean it's a good season.
Basically, the only episode prior to season six that I think is like an all-time great is actually my favorite episode, and it's a bottle episode. It's the one where no one's ready.
I remember that.
I've seen that episode so many times. But I mean, dude, Friends is pretty funny.
I like Friends.
It was pretty well written.
I do not like Friends.
I don't like anyone on it. Like, but the weird thing is, it takes a bunch of actors of whom I only really like two, like really like two, and makes them all relatively funny, except
David
for Rachel,
Schwimmer.
Who's never funny ever.
Love Jennifer Aniston. Have you seen Horrible Bosses?
Yeah,
she's really funny in that movie.
Yeah,
she's really good in The Village, actually.
Yeah. She was awkward in The Village. She was so good in Office Space.
I watched
Space.
That the other day.
She was the fucking girlfriend who has nothing interesting
she
to say
about Office
Space.
She was great. She's really funny.
You just love Office Space. That
yeah, that's
mean Jennifer Aniston has anything
fair.
To do with that.
That's fair.
She's pretty, guys.
Mr. Penny Stealing Criminal Man.
Yeah, good one. Good delivery there.
Me?
Both of you.
Okay, here's a game. So
oh, yeah,
shut up.
The game, right?
All right. Now, this is a new game, and it is called the Comics Roundup Master Debate.
I have a game, too.
Shut up.
Just kidding. It's directions to my drug test.
We're trying to determine about the Master Debater.
Parole.
Okay. Sorry. So this is the Comics Roundup Master Debate. I will give you three topics of discussion. You will each get 30 seconds preamble, and then there will be open debate. Okay.
This is like the least organized debate ever. 30 second preamble followed by open debate. So
yep.
Like 30 seconds where we can be like, listen up, y'all, I'm going to tell y'all a story.
Yep.
Preamble.
Oh,
and then we
yep.
can just yell at each other.
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm going to get Alex Jones to hear.
That's how you become a master debater. That's why all those debates on television, people just lose all the time.
You're
going to
get
master.
Paul Heyman.
Great. All right. So, Brock
Lesnar.
There is a... Oh, Jesus. There's a scoring algorithm that I'll put into place that I know that I won't share with you or the audience, but I'll put into practice at the end of each little segment. And the first question, I'll tell you slowly so that you can conjure your... answer, and then we can debate. So, the first question.
Okay.
Who's for master first, debate.
Oh. Okay.
I will give you 2 seconds to, to conjure your thoughts.
Just what's the question, asshat?
Don't yell at the quizmaster.
I already did.
Yell at the page master.
What is your favorite comic?
The Taskmaster.
And why?
So we're going to debate what our favorite comic is.
Yes.
Is this like single?
Okay, I hope you have conjured your answers.
Yep.
We're going to start with...
I have a quick question. Is this single issue or like current volume of a comic? Or
this is a debate, Ryan. Do I have to explain it beyond the question?
Whose preamble is going to go first?
Well, not Ryan's. I have a timer.
All right, so I have 30 seconds to preamble.
Joey has 30 seconds. What is your favorite comic and why?
So, if in a preamble, am I supposed to say what my favorite comic is, or just do like a preamble? But am I supposed to say?
That's 5 seconds.
Because I'm not clear on whether I'm supposed to say that what my favorite comic is, or whether this is just like my introduction.
You got 15 seconds left.
Should I just nod yes or no? Should I say what my favorite comic is? I don't understand. How much time do I have left? How much time? How much time?
1 second. Go.
Oh, Jughead. When Jughead ate all the hamburgers.
All right. Moving on to Ryan. What is your favorite comic and why?
My favorite comic is Hawkeye because it's funny and good.
You still have...
25 seconds.
It's got a dog named Pizza Dog. And sometimes Dave Aja draws it and he's good to draw. And sometimes...
You got 15 seconds.
Annie Wu draws it and she's a good drawer. And sometimes Francesco Francavilla draws it. And he's an average drawer. And
5 seconds.
I'm just saying that to get the edge on the debate.
Extra points for using the word drawer.
3 times. Drawers.
30 seconds. Okay. So now that you've had your...
So open debate means we like one of us talks and the other one gets a rebuttal.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. So I'm going to talk.
Rebuttal. Starting with Joey.
So clearly the one where Jughead eats all the hamburgers is considerably better than Hawkeye because...
Well, that's... I want to stop you there. That's not the debate. You're not... Yeah. The debate isn't which is better than the other. It's what's your favorite.
I see.
Okay. Well, commence. Go again.
My favorite is the one where Jughead eats all those hamburgers because I think that's something we can all relate to. And because, you know, sometimes you eat all those hamburgers, but then there's consequences like, am I going to get a stomach ache? Are they going to be cooked properly? Because sometimes when you order a bunch of hamburgers, the people behind the counter panic. I once ordered a bunch of hamburgers and two of them didn't have patties because they were in such a fluster over all those hamburgers they had to make.
The patties were in a fluster?
No, the patties were gone. The
you ever had a hamburger with fluster on it?
I'm sorry, are you debating?
Oh, shit!
Can I buzz in with my rebuttal?
Okay, rebuttal!
Okay, rebut me.
There's a dog that likes pizza in Hawkeye. His name's Pizza Dog, and I'm sure that your dog, Bender,
quick, press
likes
the rebuttal
pizza.
Button.
So, I mean, it's a good thing.
Rebuttal.
The rebutton.
Not everyone has a dog, but everyone's had a bunch of hamburgers. Unless you're a vegetarian, but it's a well-known fact that vegetarians can't see color, so comics are wasted on them.
Rebuttal. It's a well-known fact that vegetarians are barely people anyways, so why would they
interruption
have a pizza dog?
Resume.
Resume.
Rebuttal. I don't know why you're taking all this out on vegetarians. All I'm saying is that eating a whole bunch of hamburgers is an excellent way to clear out your colon, and we all need to do that, and Jughead has shown us the way. And
rebuttal. I agree with that.
And wait.
Rebuttal. Thank you very much.
Rebuttal. You're welcome.
Rebuttal. Can I offer you a whole bunch of hamburgers?
That's the end of that
rebuttal,
round.
I'm good, but your beard looks nice too.
Good round.
Extra point to Ryan at the beginning for using the word drawer. Which was pretty good. Also for using his rebuttal to agree with someone.
I like that our debate ended so like civilly.
Yeah, it's nice. Good. All right. So
you would declare a winner of the round? Or
not of the round. No, at the end. But, well, okay, yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you hadn't thought this through at all. Rebuttal. You clearly have no idea what you're doing.
All right. No. So, I think what Ryan had to share was trite and boring. And
he just described the comic.
Rebuttal. I agree.
Dog.
He probably likes pizza.
I think Joey incorporated aspects of his own life and his own eating habits into his favorite comic.
I do like eating a lot.
And so I think... Well, Ryan's got 2 points for a made-up word and for using a rebuttal for the
drawer
opposite purpose.
Drawer is not a made-up word.
Drawer.
It's a place where you
a drawer.
Things. It's pronounced drawer. There's several behind
Francesco Francavilla is a great drawer.
Yeah.
And Joey gets 3 points.
Oh.
3 points. So 3-2.
No explanation whatsoever. Rebuttal. Thank you very much.
All right,
round two.
The next
are we
question.
Do preambles again?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Cool.
So 30-second preambles.
So Ryan gets the first preamble this time.
Yes, yes.
Oh, God. Oh, gosh.
So...
What's the question?
The question is...
You okay?
Sorry, I had something caught in my throat. Who wrote Watchmen? 2 seconds.
Who watched them?
And Ryan, here's your preamble. 30 seconds. 30 seconds on the clock.
Oh,
who wrote Watchmen?
I thought that was my preamble.
5 seconds.
Alan Moore.
You really explored the space, right? You have lots of room.
You have 15 more seconds. Why?
And this is tedious. It's Alan Moore.
Use your time, man. 5 more seconds.
He's a
three,
he's a guy.
Two,
he's got a beard.
One. All right. Good first 30 seconds.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job. Joey, okay. Who wrote The Watchmen?
Well, contrary to popular belief, I know a lot of people think it's Alan Moore, but that's actually a very common misconception. The actual original writer of Watchmen was original writer from Northampton. Original writer born in Northampton. He wrote all the issues in chalk on his sidewalk, actually. A lot of people don't know that either, because he was a man of the streets. And so he wrote his comics on the streets. So original writer was the writer of Watchmen.
Perfectly landing in on 30 seconds. Very well done, Joey. All right. So now we can jump into the open debate portion of this, where Ryan is on the side of Alan Moore, who wrote
Watchmen. I didn't think we were on the side of. Last time we weren't allowed to debate, argue against each other.
I'm the judge. Okay. I'm the debate Sorry. Judge.
Sorry.
All right. So Ryan says Alan Moore is the writer of Watchmen, and then he also says Long Drawn Out Silence is also the writer of Watchmen. And Joey is of the opinion that a street artist named the original writer
street artist
is the writer of Watchmen. So go, you got a couple minutes of open debate.
I believe I'm
first. Well, I didn't press the commit button.
I agree. Please go ahead.
Oh, no, cancellation of everything. I didn't press the start button.
Apology.
Commence button. Engage.
Accept apology with grace button.
Grace!
I believe, truly, that Alan Moore and original writer are one and the same.
Rebuttal. Interestingly, a lot of people think that as well, but original writer, the street artist, as we know, is actually one of the pseudonyms of Banksy, the street artist.
Rebuttal. Banksy and original writer and Alan Moore, one and the same.
Rebuttal. This is ridiculous. What is he, Mick Foley? Point to WrestleMania sign.
Rebuttal. Joey wins this round. Joey wins this round. I'm sorry. Tapping out.
Whoa, Ryan,
20 more seconds.
Ryan pushed the tap out button.
Oh, the tap out button. Oh, okay. Automatic win button.
Why is this shirt so douchey?
So,
bang, bang button.
All right. So, judge button.
Bang, bang, what's
the I'm pressing the judge button. Are you the judge? Are you guys the judge?
Sorry.
Here comes the judge.
WrestleMania button.
WrestleMania button.
Maybe you should have thought of this before you gave us all these buttons.
Yeah, I should have thought.
It's really confusing.
I gave you this entire...
Thanks for labeling them.
Yeah, you're welcome.
For having them say out loud what they are in our voices.
Wait,
what does this one do?
Auga! I've been programming these sound effects for years. I've been like, because you haven't even been aware of this, but I've just been... I'm recording those words that you've said throughout your life.
I'm just shocked that the only unmarked button was the old-timey car horn button.
Okay,
Auga!
So I'm going to award some points here. Ryan gets 3 points for conceding defeat and giving up entirely. And Joey gets 2 points for winning. So you tied now at 5-5?
Sure.
5-5. All right. Here's the final.
It's like golf.
Right. So here's the final round.
Here we go.
Here's the final round. Okay, this is for all the cabbage. We are playing for cabbage. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, cabbage button.
To play
Yuck.
For cabbage.
No, we don't need a button. No. Don't make up buttons, Ryan.
I didn't make up
buttons. You get to use the buttons that I've provided you with. You don't just get to make
cabbage.
Up buttons.
All right. For different
so this next one is a little bit more heady. A little bit... you're going to have to dig deep for this one. Did Jack Kirby draw comic books? Okay, I hope you've had time to absorb your answers in the womb, like a twin. And Joey, you get a 30-second preamble go.
Well, yes. Yes, Jack Kirby drew comics. He drew lots of comics. They were pretty good. And now it seems that...
You've got 20 more seconds, you should hurry!
Seconds. I guess I'll use it by just doing a monologue from The Big Lebowski. Way out west, there was this fella I want to tell you about, a fellow by the name of Jeff Lebowski. At least that was the
name. Only got 10 more seconds.
His parents gave him, and he never had much use for himself. This Lebowski called himself the dude. Now, dude, that's the name I'll apply to where I come from, but then this didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and a whole lot of...
One more second. Perfect. Perfectly clocking in at 30 seconds. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, Ryan, Did Jack Kirby, Jack the King Kirby,
Jack the King Kirby's Dream Land
for
Game
Boy Sega,
Sega. You idiot.
I don't know anything about Jack Kirby. Ryan, did Jack Kirby draw comic books? Debate, master debate, start.
No, and here is why. Because he is Jack the King Kirby, the king of Kirby for, say, what, all that stuff. And then he's 15
seconds.
He's got all these serfs and peasants, right? So what does he make them do?
Surf with him.
Draw. And then they surfed after.
Is he a cowboy?
He's not a tyrant. They
let him
go surfing.
Draw!
And they drew everything, and they were good drawers.
Yeah, one more second.
They were very good drawers.
Good job. All right, so now we're at the open debate portion of this. Right. Commence debate. Commencing.
They call Los Angeles the City of Angels. I didn't find it to be that exactly, but all I allow is there are some nice folks there. Of course, I can't say I've seen London, and I ain't never been to France, and I ain't never seen no queen in her Dan Dundies, as the fella says. But I'll tell you what, after seeing Los Angeles, and this is here story I'm about to unfold, well, I guess I've seen something every bit as stupefying as you'd see in any of those places. And in English, too.
Rebuttal. Now, while my esteemed colleague here brings up some impressive points.
Monologue continuation. So I can die with a smile on my face without feeling let the good Lord jip me. Now, this here story I'm about to unfold took place back in the early 90s, just about the time of our conflict with Saddam and the Iraqis.
Right before the hit song Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba came about.
Conclusion.
Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Interruption. Well, here's a little story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down.
Join in.
I'd like to take a minute to sit right there, and then I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
Conclusion. I only mention it because sometimes there's a man, and I won't say a hero, because what's a hero? But sometimes there's a man, and I'm talking about the dude here. Sometimes let me finish. Well, he's the man for his time and place.
Let me finish.
And that's the dude in Los Angeles. And even if he is a lazy man, and the dude was most certainly that, but I lost in Los Angeles County, which is places high in the women's parade as well. Sometimes there's a man, sometimes there's a man. Well, also very funny, but I'll help. I've done introduced him enough.
Aruga! Debate over button. All right, so I would like to
work. Monty Python's
I'm happy with my performance button.
So I'm pretty... That's what she wish... You had what?
Failed punchline button.
Rebuttal. It's hard to disappoint somebody who doesn't exist.
Not something completely different.
All right. Okay. So I'm gonna award last minute points here. I would like to award 2 points, 2 special bonus points to Ryan for joining in on a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air rap. I would like to award 1.5 points to Joey for doing an entire monologue of The Big Lebowski, and I would like to award a whopping 0.6.
Whopping.
Of a point.
A 0.6th of a point? What does that even mean?
One, like 6/10.
Yeah.
Come on.
Point,
So enough for you to win.
I mean, big dunk
button.
Okay. Do I get it?
Joey gets it.
Yay!
For being right, because Jack Kirby did draw comic books.
Yeah.
And that is how we play the comics roundup. Master debater. Joey is a master debater.
Yes, I do. Jerking my cock.
Time for one quick last button.
Yeah.
I went for it button. Because that's what I do. I went for it. Hey, I went for it.
Good game, guys. Good game.
Sometimes to get to the top, you gotta fall to the bottom, you know? It's like climbing Everest.
I love sayings that like that, where they're just
the
like...
The first time I tried to climb Everest, I fell all
sometimes
the way to the bottom.
Sometimes to unlock the door, you gotta lock it. You know? Sometimes to take a shit, you have to eat a shit.
I was gonna
That's what the podcast should be called, eating your shit.
I was gonna say sometimes to make an omelet you gotta lay a bunch of eggs, but that's much better than mine, Joe.
Sometimes if you wanna skin a donkey, you gotta fuck a donkey. Sometimes if you wanna wear a hat, you gotta buy a hat.
Sometimes if you want to breathe, I gotta ingest oxygen.
Sometimes if you want to cut your grass, you gotta buy a lawnmower.
Sometimes if you want to do an entire Big Lebowski monologue in the middle of a podcast, you have to look it up online.
Sometimes if you buy a lawnmower, you got a house.
Sometimes Vincent Van Gogh makes pictures and other times it doesn't.
Sometimes if your fish ain't happy, we'll go to Walmart.
Sometimes people that died were alive first.
Sometimes you climb inside a pelican. Did I win?
Sometimes you win. Sometimes the house eats you or something. I don't know.
Sometimes you eat the bar and sometimes, well, he eats you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want a bagel and sometimes you do.
Sometimes you stomp on frogs and sometimes you shove a crowbar up my nose.
Sometimes you play on the playground, sometimes you play on a bus.
Sometimes you fuck a prostitute and then you get arrested.
Sometimes you're in the Ottoman Empire. Sometimes you just got an Ottoman and you read Empire magazine.
Sometimes you fuck a prostitute from the Ottoman Empire and then you get a rash.
This is a mashup.
Sometimes you're Jim Rash.
Sometimes you're Jim Ross.
Oh, my God. Sometimes he's been broken in half. Sometimes that man has a family. Oh,
sometimes God. His family is a family of crawdads.
You gotta keep them separated. Alright, enough of that.
Sometimes, hey!
Enough of that fucking nonsense.
Guys, sometimes I read a comic book.
Sometimes
we talk about it.
Sometimes I read
comics. This comic book came from Avatar. We hardly ever talk about Avatar comics. God is Deb is the only one we've ever talked about.
I know, you know why? You know why we never talk about Avatar comic books? Because they're unobtainable.
Unobtainable?
Oh, boo!
How do you
boo.
Figure?
Boo! Boo! That's an Avatar reference.
Oh, I get
boo.
It. Oh, I get it. Okay. That made me feel blue.
Dabba-dee-dabba-dye?
No, like the fucking cat people and the fucking Smurf movies.
For the record, when I said that's an Avatar reference, didn't even click that it was Avatar Press.
That was what we were talking about.
All right. Well, I fell
anyway,
in a river yesterday.
It's a comic. It's like it's horror in space by Garth Ennis and Facundo Percio. You know, it's cool. There's a monster in it. It looks kind of like Alien. You know?
How is it a miniseries?
I don't know.
I'll buy it.
I liked it a lot.
I love Garth Ennis, and I haven't read a Garth Ennis book. Well, actually, no. I finished Red Team the other week, and I thought
I just really like horror comics, and this is a good one. So fuck that. I'll mention this. Moon Knight.
Moon Knight was spectacular.
Moon Knight
really
1 was better.
Yeah, Moon Knight 1 was better. Moon Knight 2 was very sparse to a point
really
where
like,
I thought it was a little bit of a fault.
I just like Moon Knight in a suit Moon Knight better than I like Moon Knight
in a cape.
But this was a really cool issue, but Moon Knight 1 was really cool.
Especially the end where it's really alluding to cosmic stuff.
Black Widow, did you read that?
Yeah. I love
Number 5
book.
Had the best cover.
Oh, such a good cover. It was such
I do
a
like
cool
this,
blockbuster
yeah,
run.
But
I
the cover was
Black
awesome.
Widow.
Yeah.
I'm really glad. I was looking at my pull list for Marvel books, and all my Marvel books that I follow are like weird... fringe books
like fringe?
Black Widow, She-Hulk,
She-Widow, Black Hulk.
Anyway,
okay, I have one other book to talk about, and it's one that no one else reads because fuck me. Jonathan Mayberry and Tyler Crook, Bad Blood, number 4. I really like this book. Jonathan Mayberry is a really good horror writer. Tyler Crook's a really good artist. The whole premise of the book is this guy has leukemia and hence his blood is toxic to vampires. And so a vampire king like tries to feed on him and it poisons him. So and then he ends up teaming up with this girl who's a heroin addict and also her blood is tainted. So the vampires now are concerned. They don't know whether or not they can actually feed on humans anymore because humans have this weird possibly tainted blood now. But it's cool. It's just this people versus vampires. And in this issue they've teamed up with a vampire hunter who's teaching them how to kill vampires. And it's really good. It's a great idea. It's a really cool idea. Jonathan Mayberry, Tyler Crook, Bad Blood. Check it the fuck
out. Jonathan Mayberry, why do I know who...
I don't know, he's a famous horror novelist.
Oh, yeah, I just recognized that name.
Sorry. I was on Tinder. I'm really bad at Tinder.
I don't know what that is.
It's like it's like one of those pseudo dating apps where it's just like it just shows somebody's picture and then you either swipe right if you're like down or swipe left if you're not.
Wait, so why do you swipe down?
You swipe right if you're down. Like you swipe right if you're like, yeah, she's good looking, and you swipe left if you're
I
like,
see.
I'm not interested.
If you're just like, I'm all, y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here.
I've noticed that I'm very judgmental on like how people spell their names now.
Like correctly or not?
Yeah, like just if it's spelled stupid, I won't. I'll be like, no.
Like can
if their name is spelled stupid, like if your name is Carl but you spell it S-T-U-P-I-D,
pretty much.
Is it unobtainable?
That reminds me of two jokes. But I'll tell them to you in order. The first is a Friends joke, actually, when Ross accidentally said to the wrong person, said Rachel at the altar to Emily instead of her name, and he was saying how it was a slip of the tongue, and then Joey says to Chandler, remember it's like that, he says it to Ross, remember like that time when you tried to say butternut squash, and it came out squatter nut bosh, and he pauses, and Ross goes, yeah, because that's the same.
That's
and then makes me laugh. And the better joke is from Monty Python's Flying Circus when they say, joining me this week is Mr. Raymond Luxury Yacht. That's not my name. Oh, I'm sorry. Raymond Luxury Yacht. No, no. It's spelt Raymond Luxury Yacht, but it's pronounced Throat Wobbler Mangrove.
Throat Wobbler Mangrove.
And Throat Wobbler Mangrove may be my favorite punchline. No, no. It's pronounced Throat Wobbler Mangrove. Classic.
I was trying to start a song earlier.
What were you? What song?
Fuck.
What are you doing? I don't understand. Why do we sing songs on this podcast?
I was going to say, I saw somebody we know on Tinder. I'll show you later.
Underboob. The underboob. It's the boob that goes underneath. You can't see the nipple. You can't see the areola, which is part of the nipple. Underboob. It's like a side boob on the bottom. When you see it, you want to go running around. Stick your face and make a motorboat sound. In an actual motorboat driving around in the lake. Driving around the lake. Driving around the lake. Got your money on the table. Gonna do lots of cocaine like Scarface. That movie's overrated.
Good.
Yeah, sometimes to make a favorite song, you gotta just say a bunch of shit.
It's getting good, guys.
It just happens. It happens.
Alright, so wait, what's happening? Favorites, right.
Really?
Did we forget to talk about this book, or was it someone's favorite?
Oh, we didn't talk about it.
Pretty Deadly Five was really good.
Really? Was it boring and meandering and never got to the fucking point?
Ryan!
No! Pretty Deadly is one of the best series.
Sometimes to critique a comic book, you gotta
boring,
say some shit that ain't nice.
And never getting to the point. What is it? Oh, I fucked up.
What is it?
I was gonna say, what is it? A Scott Steiner promo? But they're always entertaining.
What is it? A ruler that isn't straight-edged?
So my favorite was Grindhouse Doors Open at Midnight number 7 by Alex DeCampi, and this issue was drawn by Gary Erskine. Totally awesome issue. Flesh Feast of the Devil Doll Part 1.
I love Gary Erskine.
So this combines like kind of like a species style girl who's also this really scary monster who turns her face backwards and bites people's heads off. It also combines a summer camp for field hockey girls. And those summer camp for field hockey girls go to like hang out with a bunch of street toughs at like a logging, at like a truck stop. And suddenly all these different things collide and we're going to have chaos and mayhem and fighting. And brass knuckles and awesome cool monsters and that awesome splash page at the end where the monster with teeth face jumps at them.
Gary Erskine is great.
He really is, and I really love this comic.
Great Erskine.
I'm so sad there's only one more issue. I hope they get to do another miniseries because it's so good. Alex DeCampi rocks.
I want to read Smoke and Mirrors by Alex DeCampi.
You want to read Smoke and Mirrors?
Yep. Smoke and Mirrors. Didn't she write a book called Smoke and Mirrors? My favorite this week was Black Science number 5 by Rick Remender and Matteo Scalera. I love how zany and...
One time I caught Scalera.
Where'd you catch him?
In the tall grass.
Don't go into the blind.
Sometimes to catch Scalera, you gotta cast a wide net.
No, you gotta walk in the tall grass.
Sometimes you lay on a couch, and sometimes the couch gets peed on.
Sometimes to catch Galera, time is flat.
Sometimes you go to the doctor, and sometimes you're Dr. Pepper.
Hey!
I'm just looking.
Ooga!
So, Black Science is quickly turning into one of my favorite ongoing Image books right now. Earlier, I was like, it's one of my favorite books ever. Really, I was thinking about all the new wave of early number Image books that are kind of, that are all over the place.
Walking
Pretty
Dead.
Deadly.
Savage
Deadly,
Dragon. Spawn.
Sex Criminals and all the other ones.
Batman.
The Saviors and all those other Image books. I think Black Science
Lost
is one of my favorite of them. It's just it's a really, really excellent science fiction comic.
Lost isn't a comic book.
That was my favorite.
Sorry, what was that? I wasn't listening. Don't worry, I can go back and listen to this later.
How?
Through the magic of internet. Sometimes you magic in internet magic, and sometimes magic in internet face.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What's the internet?
The World Wide Web?
The internet is a communications tool where people the world over to come together and bitch about movies and share pornography with each other. Jay and Salabob strike back.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What's technology?
Technology.
Let's get digital. Digital.
Technology.
I was in Greece.
This is Geeks. This is my favorite song, Slight Return. I was in Greece.
So was Olivia Newton-John. How was... You were Danny Zuko, so you kissed Olivia Newton-John?
No, it was this old bag played.
This old bag played the girl. Joey was in Greece one time, and he never did anything again of merit or worth talking about.
Except for having a kid. Good job.
Yeah, well, the joke's on you because you're on my fucking podcast.
I'm just kidding.
You're in his kitchen.
It's just the only thing we talk about. You talk about that more than wrestling.
Now, whoa, 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 whoa.
We should have the Reese logo that I can point to every time it comes up.
Now, in fairness.
It comes up every episode.
If I play Danny Zuko in a production of Grease, I mean, what else is there to talk about?
I mean, so many things.
Look, you guys joke, but... It was summer loving. I had me a blast.
Keep singing about my car.
I have a question. Did you get very far?
When
did you get three fingers in her vagina?
No, she was a minor.
So she was covered
So only two.
No, she was that really was annoying. And then, no, never mind. I'm not going to tell the story.
She was a minor. Did she have the black lung? I missed that joke. That was I should have told that about 15 seconds earlier.
It was really distracting because every time we were boning, her canary would start squawking.
Her canary?
Yeah, because we did it in a mine. I did it in her mine shaft.
Shaft!
One of those helmets with the lights on it because she had a cavernous... I'm pretty sure that girl was like 16.
For the record...
I was also 16.
My new word for vagina is now canary.
Okay, one more record. I never touched that girl. I was dating my wife at the time.
Wait, one more record. One more record.
Let It Bleed by the Rolling Stones.
That's a good one. What's your favorite record? Open debate.
92 goals in one NHL season by Wayne Gretzky.
Rebuttal. Let It Bleed by the Rolling Stones.
Rebuttal. What is?
Rebuttal. 21-0 WrestleMania.
Rebuttal. Good job.
Like
good job. You win.
To take the lyrics to Ray Stevens. Oh, yes, they call him the Streak.
And oh, yes, the they call him the Streak.
Ain't no superstar. He ain't me.
Best thing on 2 feet.
Ric Flair's in
heat.
Auga.
What was your favorite, Ryan?
My favorite.
Not your favorite record. Your favorite comic book.
My favorite is She-Hulk.
She-Hulk.
I don't know how to pronounce this. She-Hulk. Issue 3 by Charles, the aforementioned Charles Sewell.
I am Charles, and the aforementioned Sewell.
And Javier, the never-mentioned Pulido.
When you never-mentioned
Munza Vicente, I believe is how it's pronounced, is the color artist, which deserves special recognition, because the colors really, they pop, boys, they pop. They pop, boys.
Like
Have you
zit.
Watched new seasons of Trailer Park Boys? They're on Netflix.
No, they're not out there yet. They don't come out
sure?
after the positive. There was
they uploaded season 6. No, they uploaded season 6 and 7 up onto Canadian.
That's why it says new episodes, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's because Canadian Netflix only ever had seasons 1 through 5.
Which was so weird.
They only have season 1 of Homeland, so...
That's also weird.
That is weird.
Strange.
Season 3 was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I loved about
very
this issue?
Very small amount of porn. Yes.
I really, really love intro pages that have the character talking to you. It is so fun.
It's
and
total She-Hulk.
And
yeah.
awesome.
That's classic She-Hulk.
Yeah, I love
From
that.
All the way back to like the John Byrne stuff.
I love yeah. that.
And like Deadpool does it too, but that's kind of his shtick. He talks to you.
You know what I started listening to today that I listened to the first 5 episodes of because I'm actually like obsessed with it now and it's so funny and awesome to listen to?
Friends.
How to Make Friends and Influence People?
How I Met Your Mother. I started watching it from the beginning. No, I started listening to Nerd Poker on the Earwolf Radio Network. It's Brian Posehn and Jerry Duggan and Blank Patch, and there's three other comedians, and they just play Dungeons and Dragons, and it is so awesome.
Really?
It is actually amazing.
Like, Jerry Duggan's a really funny guy.
Jerry Duggan is the best on that entire podcast. Yeah. He has a warlock shaman, or no, he has a shaman character who keeps having this spirit bear that he summons.
Is it Hopstat?
Yes. And at every single moment where they're like trying to interrogate someone or whatever, he usually just runs in and just like murders them immediately. Awesome. I don't know. You should listen to it. It's very fun.
I will check it out.
Made me want to go and get all the issues of Deadpool that I've been missing because I remember how much I love Brian Posehn and Jerry Duggan.
It's really good, and they do those one-shot issues that are usually like really fun and funny, and then they're like longer arcs or five-issue arcs. Not really the first one, the Dead Presidents one, but since
That's the only one I read.
Yeah. Since then, all their longer arcs have been a little more serious, and there's like some really deep, like heavy shit that has happened in this book, but at the same time, it's Deadpool. You can't get too grim with it. Yeah. So, but yeah. On the other hand, though, She-Hulk, issue 3.
I loved this issue.
Yeah, it involves She-Hulk trying to figure out how to get
amnesty
for the son of Doctor Doom.
All hope.
They cast somebody as Doctor Doom in the movie this week. I can't remember who it is.
Jesse Eisenberg.
No.
In what were we talking about?
In the new Fantastic Four.
Oh
movie.
Yeah, it's
like a no name guy.
Yeah, I've seen him in like something, but I didn't care.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it'll probably be fun. Do you have anything else to say about She-Hulk?
Have you really awesome.
Have you said anything about She-Hulk?
There's a Fantastic Car.
The Fantastic Car is beautiful. That's such a good page. Javier Pulido is perfect on this book in the same way that Aja and Annie Wu are perfect on Hawk Guy.
Yeah.
Javier Pulido is spectacular.
Is it a really complicated story? Because then it would be a perfect flex.
All right, I'm going home.
Oh, really? Does that mean it's the end of the show?
Do you remember the old WrestleMania theme song that's like...
I could listen to you sing this one forever.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You'll have to YouTube it. But, yeah, I don't know. This book's really cool and fun and silly. And there's... cool thing at the end because Dr. Doom shows up and Dr. Doom's the coolest.
Sweet.
Yeah, Dr. Doom showing up at the end is pretty badass.
But it's a cool book.
Good comics week, boys. Yeah. Let's bring it home. Are we ready?
Quickly. I fell into a river today.
Oh, you fell into a river. Yeah, we forgot to tell that story.
I was on ice and fell through it into a river. It was cold.
Well, that's all we have time for this week here on the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup. I say we don't have any more time, like we have somewhere to be, but we've just run out of bullshit to talk.
I have a drug test in the morning.
And I have to go watch the main event of WrestleMania 17. So until next week, I am Joey Grzecki, Joey G, and...
I'm Fabulous Ryan.
Rob is
Robbie
not
G! Robbie G!
And so y'all have a gooder, and I love you, and keep imitating, and continue the evolution, and...
Live the dream. You're capable of everything you ever want. I'm just kidding. They're not. They're capable of two or maybe three things in their lives.
What's the name of Emma's finisher move? It's pretty cool. It's like bridge.
I don't know, but like it's like a kind of like a weird reverse STF bridge.
Yeah,
it's like cool. A bridging STF almost. It's weird. It's neat though. It's the best part of the slide.
I hope she wins the Divas Championship.
I hope she wins.
She's not going to.
Everything.
Maybe
she's
going to retain, but
I hope she. Not. I hope she wins and then just marches like.
Stop breaking my kitchen.
I'm sorry, but she just like does that knee-high march.
I actually think Tamina might win and give us like a Tamina AJ program.
Which I really don't care about. Hey, AJ and Punk got engaged.
I heard.
That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
See you guys. Love
Bye.
You.
Bye.